Bill Zimmerman is a Boston-area organizer for Medical Aid for Indochina, a group raising money for medical needs in North Vietnam. He recently returned from Hanoi. The following excerpts from his diary are the last part of a three-part series on the rest of the news.
Nghe khắp phố hè đâu đấy, bước người, nổi dậy. Lửa của nghìn núi lửa ngút trời mây.
Hanoi, May 25th, 10:30 p.m. We met with eight prisoners of war tonight. They drove us somewhere in the city and took us into a large room in a building that must once have been a French mansion or diplomatic mission. We seated ourselves around a rectangular table covered with white cloth and surrounded by 12 chairs. In front of each was a teacup and saucer. We had the scenario completely planned. Who would be spokesman, what questions we would ask, protocol, etc. I had argued against shaking their hands at the beginning and appearing in any way buddy-buddy with them. True, they were probably the most anti-war among all the prisoners, and they had written a fine letter to Congress, but we had seen too much of the suffering they had caused in the last few days to think of them as anything but war criminals. They came in single file, and all I could see were their striped uniforms, big wide stripes of alternating light and dark maroon. Images of concentration camps flashed through my mind, but the faces on top of the striped shirts were 200% American, too well-fed and round and Middle Western. They seemed to be very tall, but weren't, and I realized how much I'd become used to the short Vietnamese. One had a broken arm, another a recently healed neck wound. We learned later that they had been captured in the last 2 months. They sat down across from us, and Paul, nervously, we were all nervous, explained the format. We briefly introduced ourselves. They went around giving name, rank, hometown, and date captured, as we had asked them to. Paul then began the questions. The first concerned their treatment. The answer that it was excellent in every way was confirmed by their obvious good health. Then a series of several political questions, each one geared to revealing one of Nixon's lies or the legitimacy of mass anti-war work. We had asked that a different person respond to each of the questions. Slowly, as they gave their answers, the power of what was happening came home to me. Their responses were perfect. We could not have written a better script for them. Everything they said was politically right on, concise, complete, and hard-hitting. But it was not programmed. They spoke with obvious sincerity and in an emotionally genuine way. They were human beings, victims too, caught in a web of forces they did not understand and absolutely impotent in controlling their fate. They were men off the street back home in America, a complete spectrum of the faces in any American city. Only now they were sitting with us here in Asia, in striped shirts. They were regretting murderers of hundreds of innocent people, and we would be going home while they stayed on here in their prison camp for years to come. Listen to Navy Commander Hoffman.
The bombing puts us in very real, very imminent personal danger every time it takes place. I don't know how to describe the feeling of being bombed. I don't think there are words that can possibly transmit it to the American people to make them understand that feeling. But it is very real and very personal. The bombing, as Lynn commented, has been demonstrated to be ineffective. It is not going to stop the Vietnamese will to fight, nor their will to continue. Just as the blockade of any port, really, is not going to deter the Vietnamese spirit and their purpose in this war, if you will call it a war. The bombings only make it more likely that we're going to have to stay here much, much longer. And if there's anything that all of us want, it's to go home.
When the session ended, we got into our cars and drove back to the hotel. On the way, we could see the two small pickup trucks in front of us that we knew must contain the prisoners. The back part was completely covered and windowless, and you could almost look through the side walls and see the four men sitting in the dark. The Vietnamese